Here's a check on stories we're following for you today on Robin Hood Radio. A check of the COVID-19 case numbers in our tri-state region. Falls Village still with none. Cornwall 4, Kent 9, New Milford 200, Norfolk 6, North Canaan 4, Salisbury 6, and Sharon 11. Locally in Dutchess County, active COVID-19 cases, Amenia 9, Clinton 18, Dover 43, Milan 10, Northeast less than 5, Pauling 31, Pauling Village 9, Pine Plains 10, Red Hook 26, Red Hook Village less than 5, Rhinebeck 42, Rhinebeck Village 10, Stanford 13, Tivoli Village less than 5, and Washington 10. Columbia County had 13 community members that have passed away from COVID-19, 152 positive cases now of COVID-19. 77 of those 152 have recovered. 15 of the positive cases are hospitalized, 3 in ICU. 142 residents are under mandatory quarantine, 24 under precautionary quarantine. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in Berkshire County rose to 428 on Sunday, an increase of 3 from the previous day. There were no new deaths in the county, according to a state report from the Department of Public Health. Statewide, 169 deaths were reported on Sunday, bringing the total to 2,899 since the pandemic began. Additionally, there were 1,590 new cases, now for a total of 54,938. In Great Barrington, a Hopedale man was killed on Saturday after losing control of his motorcycle while riding with a larger group on Route 7. Police say Glenn Salt, 62, was riding with members of Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of the Massachusetts Chapter 2-1 when he crashed in his travel lane at about 2:25. Town police investigating the crash along with Massachusetts State Police unit assigned to Berkshire District County Attorney's Office with assistance of the Massachusetts State Police Accident Recon Unit and Crime Scene Services. Over the weekend, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont announced there were about 25,000 positive coronavirus cases in the state with 1,862 deaths. Lamont said there are 1,810 patients currently hospitalized. That's a drop from Friday. And as of Saturday, 77,602 people have been tested for COVID-19. 6 weeks after Dutchess County declared a state of emergency, the county executive this weekend, Mark Molinaro, said the county hit a plateau. The state, as well as reached presumed plateau earlier in the week. Molinaro noted that the number of hospital patients stabilized between 80 and 100 last week on any given day, and this week that total was even dropping below 80. While it's good news, according to Molinaro, he said the county is not yet at the point of returning to some form of normalcy. A COVID-19 recovery center is opening up in the former Great Barrington Healthcare long-term care facility on Maple Avenue in that town. The town health agent confirmed that the facility at 148 Maple Avenue, which was owned by Timberland Heights Rehabilitation Care Center, that was formerly Kindred Nursing and Rehabilitation, will reopen as a completely positive COVID-19 facility. It was closed in mid-March. It's already been accepting patient referrals, and it will open anticipated with 10 patients. Further inquiries, Bear Mountain Healthcare, which acquired the facility late last year. They're based in Thomaston, Connecticut. Bear Mountain's corporate director of infection control told the Berkshire Eagle that the former nursing home has 50 beds, but that Bear Mountain does not plan to fill them all immediately. A story by Ruth Epstein of the Republican American this weekend. Aware of how many people in town may be struggling financially, the Board of Selectmen has reduced its proposed 2020-21 budget to keep the tax rate flat. Selectmen are recommending reducing capital reserve expenditures to zero, delaying the purchase of such things as a fire truck and town truck. They also suggest the assistant town clerk's salary be cut by $10,000 because the person is leaving the job, and the $2,000 increase for the economic coordinator's position be removed. However, they're adding $2,000 to the coordinator's line item for education and training. Todd said the total cuts amount to $118,000, reducing the budget plan by about 5%. When Board of Finance Chairman Richard Enriquez questioned cutting the assistant town clerk's salary, Todd said town clerk Mary Palmer assured him she could handle the job working 12 hours a week, earning a total of $24,000. He said her main task is scheduling ballots for elections. Hines counted the job entails more than just dealing with elections. Todd said, quoting here, "Look, we're the second smallest town in the state. The job doesn't take all that much time. There just won't be an operator to direct calls to others." end quote. Kent residents have an opportunity to submit questions to the Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen, and Board of Education regarding their proposed 2021 budget. A form has been posted on the town's website, townofkent.org, offering the opportunity to ask up to 5 questions. That survey will close May 6 at 11:59 p.m. The town will not hold a hearing or a town meeting on the budget per Governor Ned Lamont's executive order. The tax rate will not go up in 2021 because the Finance Board plans to use $794,000 from the town's surplus balance to budget and keep the rate at 18.61. The plan is to share the questions with the boards, and then Finance Board would act on the proposed budget by May the 19th. A story by Lynn Mills Worthington of the Republican American. The Board of Selectmen intended to attain party status in the application by Homeland Towers and AT&T to build a tower in the eastern portion of town. The paperwork has not been filed and received by the Connecticut Siting Council. First Selectman assured the other selectmen that the town did have party status. However, there are no new updates on the council's website indicating that. Speck told Selectman Wednesday the request is in the hands of the town's attorney at Kramer and Anderson. The firm has to make 15 copies. Then submit it to the Siting Council. The Northeast Community Center's transportation program will continue to operate for seniors and families and individuals who need transportation to access pharmacy, food, and other emergency supply outlets during the pandemic. The center is currently transporting only one person per vehicle, reminding clients that the Northeast Community Center is unable to let anybody with a contagious illness or signs of the virus access the service. Anyone who is ill should contact their physician directly to seek guidance. You can check online at necccmillerton.org. Salisbury Family Services is now able to provide emergency assistance to residents in the town of Salisbury who are experiencing financial difficulty. Help with food as well as financial assistance is available. Contact 860-435-5187. Coming up tomorrow, it's National Superheroes Day, and there's going to be a parade. On that day, members of the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce will be driving through local towns and care facilities for our Hearts on Tour car parade. With hearts, signs, flags on the cars, they'll honor local superheroes who are doing all they can to save lives, the essential workers, as well as those of you doing your part by practicing social distancing. The route is as follows. 1 o'clock, starting at HVRHS, going north on US 7, 105 Falls Village Firehouse, 115 Gear Village, 120 north on US 7 to North Canaan, 125 the North Canaan Fire and Ambulance, 130 through North Canaan on US 44 toward Salisbury, 145 Noble Horizons, 150 Salisbury Ambulance, 155 through Salisbury on US 44, 2 o'clock left on Salmon Kill Road to Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association, 210 returning to US 44 passing Lakeville Host Company, 215 left onto US 41 passing Corner Food Pantry in Hotchkiss, 225 through Sharon on Route 41 passing the Sharon Fire, and at 230 Sharon Healthcare Center, 235 going by Sharon Hospital, 240 north on Millerton Road, Sharon Road to Millerton, at 255 left on Century Boulevard, the Millerton Firehouse, and at 3 o'clock return to the Main Street heading west through Millerton. Remember that you have to practice social distancing. You're welcome to cheer them from your home, business, or along the sidewalk, but please, social distancing, okay? And anybody in the cars should be from one family, no mixed families. Region 1 Board of Education has a special meeting on Tuesday evening at 6:30. It is a Zoom meeting. Call-in number is 1-646-558-8656. Meeting ID 931-4297-7409. The password 456-140. It's a budget proposed update by business manager Sam Herrick. The Town of Sheffield Board of Selectmen has a COVID-19 meeting scheduled for Wednesday the 29th. It's a virtual meeting. To participate, dial in 605-313-5968. Access code number 697-308-pound. The Dover, New York Town Board has a regular meeting at Town Hall Wednesday 6:30 to 7:30. You can't go there, but you can view the live meeting. The stream is as follow. Stream.https, Dover, New York, DoverNY.NovusAgenda.com/AgendaPublicLives. Now, this is available on the Town of Dover website, and due to the New York on pause restrictions, the meeting will not be open to public attendance. Public comments may be submitted via email by 11 a.m. on the 29th to the Dover Town Board. Again, get all that information on their website. The Contemporary Visual Arts Scholarship, awarded annually to a one graduating art student from Housatonic Valley Regional High School. The deadline has been extended to April 30th. Any student who wishes to apply and were unable to obtain an application before schools closed should write the art teacher, Warren Prindle, at wprindle@hvrhs.org. An application will be forwarded to you by mail. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and they're on Facebook, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average starts off the week at 23,775.27. The NASDAQ starts off the week at 8,634.52, and the S&P 500 at 2,836.74. We'll take a look at that tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.